This episode of the Hard Drive DL is brought to you by our friends at Napa Auto Parts. Conquer the job with Napa know-how.
You're listening to Hard Drive DL, available at harddriveradio.com or download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app.
Hello, all. Welcome to Hard Drive DL, the Hard Drive Radio podcast. My name is Paulie Walnuts, and I am delighted that you have decided to join us for this very special episode. We've got Lou Brutus on the line with the one and only Jesse Hassock from 10 Years. They've got a new album coming out, How to Live as Ghosts. It'll arrive in our greedy little paws on October 27th. Here's Lou with Jesse. Tell you more about it.
I'm Lou Brutus. We now go to the hotline where Jesse from 10 Years joins me. You're fresh from a video shoot.
It's been pretty hectic. I've been up since about 7 this morning. We're working on a video shoot for our new single, Novocaine, and we're actually taking on a whole different approach and making a short film for it. So it's no performance of rock performance, but it's a full-on movie.
Obviously, you don't want to give away everything to it, but what kind of background can you give on the visuals and how they tie into the song?
The song itself is pretty self-explanatory within the lyrics to the chorus. Novocaine is pretty much comes from just the repetition of everyday life and how it can numb you and kind of desensitize you and or just flat out just make you feel numb, for lack of better words. And so we kind of apply that to this character's life that is a pretty well-to-do business person that has a lot of gadgets and things and monetary stuff. And but it's just routine. And long story short with it, he just starts to come unglued and almost hallucinate a little bit. It's very sci-fi, and it's almost like a Groundhog Day where his life feels like it's the same thing over and over.
Who came up with this concept to approach it this way?
This one was 100% my treatment written and brought up, and I didn't know that I could actually get people on board to do something so ambitious, because this day and age, to try to do a full-on movie, short film for a rock song is, you got to get pretty inventive with your budget, you know? It's not like you can shoot a Guns N' Roses video, but it's really, so far, so good. Couldn't be more pleased with what's going on so far.
Jesse, you said, you created the treatment yourself. What does that entail? Like, is it a one sheet with the facts of what the video should look like? I mean, how do these things go together?
I'm usually the all or nothing type of guy when it comes to diving into a project. So in the past, I've put myself into these things and been let down because it just didn't come to fruition the way I envisioned it. And other times I just put my hands up with it and rather have somebody just completely do it themselves. So I was a little apprehensive to give this thing a go, but we had a lot of people submitting treatments that I just felt weren't even close. So I was like, well, to hell with it. Why don't I just sit down for a day, which ended up turning into 2 days, because I really dissected the song and tried to give a little detailed story of a day in the life of this guy. And after I'd written it all out and proofread it and sent it to some of our bandmates and then even management stuff, everyone was like, this is the best treatment we've seen so far. Let's see if we can get the label to green light it. And luckily we were able to do that. And then after that, the task at hand was to get some guys on board that think that they could pull it off, because it's one thing to dream it up on paper. It's another thing to pull it off. So we're working with a couple of guys out of the New York area that actually, they did the Miscellanea video for us on our From Birth to Burial cycle. So they came in and didn't want to change the story at all and just really wanted to see it, the vision through the way that we were both on the same page with it. So that helps when you're on the same page.
How much of yourself is in this character, in the tune and the short film?
Well, I mean, I think every human being can kind of relate to the repetition of anything kind of desensitizing you or numbing you. When it comes to myself, I was sitting there, the whole song at Novocaine came about by me sitting, album number 7 with this band over this many years and just going, having the fear of writer's block and thinking, is everything behind me? Have I already done my best? And at some point, in order to not just fall down that spiral of self-loathing, I had to let's just purge this stuff out the way you feel, almost like therapy. And it helped create this song, which was just like, it's okay to feel that way. And it's okay to talk about it. And I think it's something people can relate to. And then when it turned into the video, it was almost just showing a guy that has it all from the outside looking in. He's driving a fancy car, has a nice desk job, has a big loft, but is coming unglued because it's not about that. It's about, like, what do you really do to feel the true, like, rush of life or elation of life, you know, like what's life worth to you, you know?
The new album is due October 27th, and the title of it I find really enticing, How to Live as a Ghost. Meaning behind that?
I didn't intentionally start to create all of our album titles in chronological order to paint a picture, but they kind of have. Ever since our sophomore record of Division, it's where we as internally felt divided on what direction that we were supposed to go to be successful. And then the next record was Feeding the Wolves, which we felt like we had a lot of cooks in the kitchen and we felt like our integrity was being stripped away from us. The following record was Minus the Machine, which made us unplug from the machine in a sense and kind of do it independent and DIY style. And then really From Birth to Burial, it had a very cryptic, dark kind of vibe to it because the original guys, I was only left with one other guy that was actually out there touring with me. And I, in my mind, I was like, man, this thing's all about to come to an end. And it's because all the original guys just had different home life things pulling them home. And we're all getting older and it's hard to carry this crazy fantasy out as a reality forever. So, I thought From Birth to Burial might have been the end. And then Brian Vodine and Matt Watlin came back and it kind of gave this new birth. And the line, How to Live as Ghosts, is like, it's just part of the process. Every one of us are going to end up passing through this existence and on to the next existence. And it's like, so how to live in parentheses is like, it's okay to pass to the next one. It's almost like a rebirth and a beginning and a new start. And to feel like that this band is come around full circle and our interaction and kind of camaraderie amongst everybody is we're doing really well. We're in a positive place instead of a dark place. And it was kind of embracing this new birth through kind of death of other things.
Where did you record the record? What was the timeline of this? Who worked with you in the studio producer wise?
Originally, like I said, all the guys were kind of out of the picture. So we were touring and finishing up and I was going, well, God, what do we do? And I was working on a side project with Matt Watlin and, you know, working on a side project with an original band member kind of still feels like the band. And I managed to get him to come out and do some touring. And then at that point, Brian and Matt both were like, we'd love to work with you. And we started writing, and then Chad Huff and Kyle Mayer have been both with us since about 2012 now, so they're not like new members, but everybody in the room just kind of really had an open mind and an open door policy on everybody's ideas. It wasn't like one person was doing everything. So when it came to writing, it was a very organic and healthy place to be of just bouncing ideas around, almost like the beginning before we were ever signed. So that was really how the writing process started back at the end of last year. And we worked on it through about February, March, fine-tuning it. And the producer, Nick Raskolnik, we've always loved what he's done. He's worked on great bands like Deftones and Korn and Alice in Chains and Foo Fighters, and his list goes on and on. And come to find out, he's a former Knoxville, Tennessee boy, and we kind of worked that angle to try to get his interest in us, and he was really excited about it. And we just went to Nashville in April and did it in about 4 to 6 weeks. And he's almost like a fifth or sixth band member. He's totally, he tears it apart and puts it back together from a musician standpoint. And it was, we've never really had a producer do it on that level. So it, for me, it was a lot of give and take, but it was a very positive thing in the end to feel like we had somebody that had really constructive criticism.
Does Nick, and I've watched him firsthand in the studio on a number of projects working with bands, does he still get very animated and play air drums and start doing the effect? Blah, 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 boom.
Absolutely one of our favorite things. He is so in there. He's switching instruments. He's going from drums to guitar. He even does air microphone. I mean, he does it all. And but like, he's so in it, and he's so into your band, and just like you can truly feel that he's a fan of music, and he just loves his job and fully immerses himself in every project he does. That we were like, whoa, we've never had a producer do this. We've usually had to either get them to pay attention to us, or we didn't want them to pay attention to us because they kind of, we didn't like what they had to say. We were usually one of those bands that we like the idea of being produced until you try to produce us, and then we don't. But he was definitely, he was like a band member.
Give me an example, if you can, because I've had some interesting conversations with him and bands that he was working with at the time. Were there any times while you were working with him in the studio that you guys started telling music stories to one another? And it didn't have to be related to 10 years. Like, give me an example of some of the stuff that you guys were talking about just as total nerd-ass music fans.
Oh, man. Well, the cool thing that Nick has that I think is... it's amazing. I've never, like, once again, I've never seen another guy do this. And Nick's story in general, and he'll tell you, he was in a local band out of Knoxville, Tennessee called Hyper Tribe that was really catching some steam locally, kind of like what we did. And they tried to get out there, and it fizzled out. And he, at some point, knew that he had to go for it. And he moved to California and started off at the very bottom of the totem pole as a runner. And he's just saying, man, I was just a fly on the wall and just hung out till it was my time for me to talk. And I waited for people to even acknowledge me before I acknowledged them back. Just, you got to know when it's your time. And he goes, I was at the right place at the right time. And talking about stories about like the Foo Fighters and how that all came about. And he was just, he's such a fan of it. I mean, he recorded Rush, for God's sakes. And he keeps this notebook, this actual physical notebook of, he writes down all our lyrics. He writes down like what key they're in. He writes down the time signature. Like, he really digs into it. And then he's over there doodling little pictures beside it too. Like, it's his own little like scrapbook of each project. And he would pull those out and go, dude, check out the one I did for Rush. And you can just go through his scrapbook and look at where he was at with his headspace while recording Rush or the Deftones or Alice in Chains or I mean, it just goes on and on. And he's got them all. And then every day when we would have lunch, we would go out and sit around this, and call it the round table, but it was like this little rectangle table, and we'd all sit in that lunch and just tell stories. And he never came from a side that felt like it was an ego, or that like he always seemed like he was just a guy that was like, I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe I got it here. He's like, you're looking at, I mean, he's got a freaking Grammy, you know? And he's like, yeah, he's just like, crazy, huh? Pick it up, feel the weight of it. You know, he's like, he's proud of it, and he should be proud of it because he worked hard to get there. But on the other side of it, he's just a dude, and he's super excited for what his life has become. So it's cool to see people that way, that just not an ego.
Well, I can't wait to see you guys back on the road again. The tour, are Red and Otherwise on all the dates or just select dates?
Red, we start up touring with Red. Mm-hmm. October 17th, if I think that's correct. But we actually start October 13th with Otherwise. So there will be a pretty lineup to it for, you know, a week or so. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I think we'll be pretty much, it'll be that three-band lineup, maybe besides a festival or something here and there.
And you guys, I'll tell you something. I don't know how you can hold up because some of those are like 4 and 5 day stretches in a row with gigs.
Yeah.
How do you keep yourself healthy?
Man, I'm not gonna lie. It's a young man's sport in a lot of ways. How we've really kept ourselves healthy is knowing that that partying, the whole term sex, drugs, and rock and roll, if you let the first two take over, then the rock and roll can't happen. So you got to kind of, as you get older, you tone it down and you find out what's important, and what's really important is being able to perform. There's nothing worse than, like, getting on stage to do your job and you can't do it because you've kind of road-worn yourself to death. And for me as a vocalist, your voice always gets deeper. So many people go through vocal surgeries. Luckily, I haven't had to have that yet, but it's a never-ending struggle of just trying to hold on, because it's easy to write it. It's easy to be in a studio and do it, but yeah, like you said, 4 or 5 nights in a row with one day off and then do it all over again. It can, and then catching colds and all that stuff. Mm. It can be really treacherous, but I'll tell you what really makes me have the strength to do it, besides trying to take care of myself and really having a good technique, is just knowing that the people that bought the ticket that came to see are there to see that night, and they're there to see a moment. They're not there to see you perfect. They're not there to see you lip sync or do a choreographed dance. They're there to, like, feel the energy that you create. So at some point, me as a vocalist, I had to stop beating myself to death about not being perfect and just have fun with the crowd. And I think that's really when you walk away and go, that's what it's about, is the interaction with that moment with the crowd.
Can't wait to see you guys again on the road. Jesse from 10 Years, always a pleasure. Nice to have you in the game.
Thanks again, anytime. And you guys have been great to us for many, many years.
More years than either one of us would probably like to admit.
Yeah.
More episodes of Hard Drive DL at harddriveradio.com. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app and keep listening.